Hi, my sister told me not to mess this up, so hopefully it goes well. Okay. In his book, The Art of Coming Home, Craig Storti defines what makes home as three things: familiar places, familiar people, and routines and predictable patterns of interaction. I love being at home. Although I like to think that I'm adventurous, I'm generally more comfortable and happy when I'm at home, wherever that may be. I like knowing a place well, knowing people deeply, and doing run-of-the-mill things with them, like grocery shopping. For the first 18 years of my life, I had one home, and a home that was very concrete and easy to define. I was born and raised in Goshen, my whole life in one house. My family and friends stayed more or less the same, my church stayed the same, and I always liked that. It felt good and, well, like home. Then, in the fall of my senior year, my family led Goshen College's SST in China. The 3 months we lived in Nanchang were transformative for me. I really enjoyed taking Chinese classes, enjoying the city, and becoming more comfortable with not understanding what was going on almost 100% of the time. We started creating a new home there, albeit one based on constant confusion and a reliance on Google Translate. I enjoyed this new home, but it required a lot of me, and I was ready to jump back into my old routines. As many people here have experienced, coming home after a time overseas, or even after just moving to a new place, is not how you expect it to be. I wanted to come back and live as though nothing had changed. I wanted to go back to an exact replica of the home I had before, but that meant ignoring everything that had happened to me and everyone else during those 3 months. I tried to handle the transition like it wasn't a big deal, almost trying to prove to everyone, especially my classmates, that I hadn't changed too much, and that I was still the same old Greta. But on the inside, I was beginning to feel unsure about what had once been my childhood dream, going straight to Goshen College. I now had a home and a half, that little bit of familiarity that we had created and then left in China. Finally, after months of indecision, I applied to Mennonite Central's committee's SALT program, Serving and Learning Together. A position was found for me in Bolivia, and I was thrilled to have something, even though I didn't know very much about Bolivia or where I would be working. But I was happy that it was in Latin America because I would surely learn Spanish. And it was 11 months long. That would definitely be enough time to build home. So the process of saying goodbye started. I began feeling really nostalgic for everything I'd always known. My family, my house, my cat, my friends, my church, the familiar foods, English, and even cornfields. I was so nervous about the year to come, confused about what on earth had possessed me when I had agreed to do this. I couldn't fully process what was happening or how long I would be away, but I think that's a good thing. There was nothing to do but push forward. There were tears at the airport and a lot of stress dreams. And then, I don't know if this is on. Can you turn it on? Okay. But then, finally, after a week of orientation that felt way too short, I was on a flight to Santa Cruz de la Sierra, the largest city right there, by population in Bolivia. I then met the rest of the team right there, 6 other volunteers from North, Central, and South America. 3 weeks were spent in language school, a mini trial run for the year to come, getting familiar with the food, the weather, the culture, and living with the family. Oh, and obviously the language. And then it was time to meet our host families, the ones we would be spending the whole year with. My family picked me up, and we drove to a completely unfamiliar part of the city, almost an hour away from the MCC office by bus. All of the worries I had about how my family would be were completely erased that night. My host mom, Sarah, and her sister had made 40 or 50 fried cheese empanadas, a very typical Bolivian snack, and in my household, dinner. They then taught me the game Rummikub, and I had been introduced to the family ritual. We would make empanadas and play Rummikub for hours while listening to the music of the 1970s band Boney M, favorites including Rasputin and Daddy Cool. And so the process of making home in Santa Cruz began. I soon started work, the place where I would work 8 to 5 every day for the next 10 months. My workplace was called Stansberry's, and it was a children's home and daycare only a short 15-minute walk away from my house. This walk became important to me as a way to get to know the neighborhood and have some time for myself each morning and evening. Stansberry's had been founded in the 50s by an American couple long before the city had expanded that far. Because of this, the property was huge, full of many animals, farm animals, and lots of tropical fruits. My job was to work with the kids on their homework each morning and in the houses they lived in with up to 8 other kids and a foster parent. The house system was designed so that kids could live with their siblings and not be separated by gender or age, like some other children's homes are. I also worked afternoons in the daycare, helping out in the pre-kinder classroom. Our classes had 18 3-to-4-year-olds and only one official teacher, so it could get pretty hectic. However, I grew to love working there and being able to watch the kids grow and interact with each other. I had never appreciated the hard and necessary work that preschool teachers do, so a shout out to them. Of course, the best part of the day was nap time. We would all lie down on a bunch of mattresses pushed together to make one giant mattress and try to get the kids to sleep. It was a daily battle. We'd have to hold kids down, pull them apart, rush to them to the bathroom before they pee themselves, and sometimes even clean up throw up. But finally, they would all be asleep, and it was such a beautiful sight, as I'm sure all the parents here can attest to. Aside from my official job doing homework and helping in pre-kinder, I did a lot of other things. I helped bake over 500 desserts to raise money, translated for some Canadians who came to teach the kids about horse training, helped cook, and gave English classes to some of the older girls. I absolutely adored my job, and I almost never found myself counting down the hours, or for that matter, the days. Between my family and my work, I made a pretty substantial routine in Santa Cruz. I got to know a few people well, could navigate around the city, and was comfortable on public transportation. I learned the regional slang and felt very patriotic to Santa Cruz as the best city in Bolivia. I watched the seasons come and go, celebrated Christmas, Easter, and my birthday. Babies were born and some people died. I became thoroughly comfortable. I would watch other gringos come and go with the satisfaction that I was staying. Santa Cruz is my home. I wrote in my journal in April, happy with the simple things, taking the bus, heavy rain, doing homework with Benry, a child at the home, and eating street popcorn. If I wasn't going to college, I think I would stay here. I just feel so at home and so thankful. But I had an end date, which was looming ever so closely. I had decided to come back to Goshen and felt good about that decision. But I had a new home and a new routine, both of which I really loved and felt like my best self in. I was doing work I loved, speaking a language that thrilled and challenged me, and well, I had just worked so hard creating my life there. I started grieving a few months before I even had to leave. I tried to savor every moment and lived in denial of the fact that I was leaving, but soon there was no avoiding the truth. I was sad and confused, but at the same time, I started feeling like my time had come to an end. I wrote in my journal in June, just 2 months after I said I wanted to stay, "Even though I don't want to leave yet, I think it's kind of necessary. This isn't really my home, and there's a lot I can do back in Goshen. I will never truly belong here. What would be my role? A missionary? I don't think so. Maybe I'll be able to come back to live here someday, but for now, I'm coming to terms with leaving." I started to think a lot about what it meant for me to be there, about the privilege I'd had and had had for my whole life leading up to who I am now. I thought about the people in the world who are forced to live in limbo and losing their sense of home and routine. Pastor and teacher Lisa Hickman writes about the psalm we heard earlier today. Psalm 107 nudges us from our backyards to imagine the hearts and lives of those in transit. The refugee, the wayfarer, the pilgrim, the immigrant, the sojourner, the alien, and the wanderer. I started thinking about the ways I can continue helping children and use my Spanish here in Goshen. I was moving on, realizing that it was not my place to own and call mine. And soon July came, and I had 1 week to say goodbye to everyone, everything, and pack up all my belongings and leave. I had a lot to do, basically uprooting a whole year of my existence. Unlike leaving Goshen, I didn't know if or when I could go back. So in many ways, it felt more final. Now that I've arrived home, many things look familiar, though many of them no longer feel familiar. I'm sometimes confused by my role. It feels like no time has passed, and yet at the same time, like a million years have passed. I don't want to just go back to the way things were, because that feels like I would be forgetting and abandoning everything that was. I now see places and communities in Goshen that I never thought too much about before, and I feel re-energized to get involved. So I'm working on re-entering with people and spaces that I knew before and getting comfortable and making interactions normal again, while at the same time I'm working on creating a new meaning of home, one that encompasses everything I knew before and everything I spent the last year learning. I hope that every person does this throughout their life, learning and readjusting and redefining home. While home and routines are very good, they need to be challenged sometimes. It's when routines are broken and you are the most vulnerable that you learn more about yourself and who you want to be. And it is with that knowledge that you can make a new home, one that feels more true to yourself. Then, once you've gotten too comfortable, you get to break it all over again. Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Abby Navsiger. I always enjoy knowing people's backstory, so here in brief is my own. My family, John and Lois Navsiger, and my brothers Tim and Jonathan, moved to Goshen and started attending Assembly in 1994, when I was 10. I loved growing up in Assembly. I bonded with my peers, got to have some incredible Sunday school teachers and MYF leaders, and thrived in a place where questions were encouraged and a wide variety of people were asked to share their gifts during church services. I went to both Bethany and Goshen College, and after graduation, I moved to Chicago. There, I discovered the field of librarianship, connected with Reba Place community in Evanston, and strengthened some of the key friendships in my life. In 2011, I finished my degree in library science and promptly moved to Seattle, both for a job and change of pace, and to be closer to Alex Peterson, who in 2014 became my husband. In 2015, Alex and I packed up all our belongings and drove across the country to Goshen so I could start a half-time position as a librarian at Goshen College. In 2016, we bought a house. In 2017, we dealt with the long and painful quagmire of 18 months of unexplained infertility. In 2018, I gave birth to Hans Vincent Navsiger Peterson. And in 2019, we experienced the shallow end of a terrifying pool known as parenting a child with health problems when Hans was diagnosed with a range of food allergies. So a few weeks ago, when I was asked if I wanted to share a story about transitions, I wondered what on earth they could be referring to. 5 years ago, I was working in the field of nonprofit communications with a steady boyfriend living in the bustling and beautiful city of Seattle, happily child-free and dreaming of one day working in a library. Now I am a married working mother living in the small town of Goshen with my husband working at a library job that I love. In all of this, the story I want to focus on today is the transition to becoming a parent. I am very aware of how this story is both unique to me and also one that is incredibly common. As I said when announcing our pregnancy, turns out something that has happened billions of times already in human history and will probably happen billions of times more still feels incredibly special when it happens to you. Becoming pregnant was not easy for Alex and I. We never got a clear answer on why, but we dealt with infertility for 18 months in the lead up to conceiving Hans. This journey was brutal, disheartening, and one that I kept mostly private. Explaining to people that you desperately wanted a child, but had no idea why your body wouldn't help you have one, wasn't an easy story to share. Eventually, I finally got pregnant. One of the many bright moments from this time was telling my family. We were all gathered together in the backyard of my brother's house, and before telling my family the news, I also told my brothers and sisters-in-law about our struggles with infertility for the first time. My parents had known about that part previously. But as I ended that story, I announced that we had just learned that we were pregnant. I still remember my dad leaping out of his seat and running around the yard with his hands in the air, whooping. I was thrilled, disbelieving, and also so worried that we would miscarry. But I didn't miscarry, and on April 26th, 2018, I gave birth to Hans. These past 15 months, I have learned that babies are truly some of the most inconvenient things in the world. Yet, I love Hans more than I thought possible. I laugh more, cry more, and enjoy my life more now that he is in it. I am also perpetually tired. I often use the phrase that becoming a parent is the hardest, best thing I have done, and I have a feeling I will continue to feel that way for the rest of my life. That said, becoming a parent has also reinforced my belief that having children is not for everyone. Oftentimes, our society can pressure people into feeling like having children is the only way to be truly fulfilled. That is not true. If anything, having a child has made me even more certain that no one should have to endure the hard, relentless work of parenting without choosing it for themselves wholeheartedly. There are many different ways to learn and grow and transform in life. Parenting is just one option among many. So, to sum up this sharing, here are three things that I have learned about transitions and transformations. Transformations force you to change. Newborns and sleep are always hard. For example, Hans didn't sleep on any non-human surfaces for the first 6 weeks. Alex and I took two-hour shifts holding him round the clock. When trying to describe this experience to a friend, I used the words adorable meat grinder. Your previous wants and needs just don't stand a chance and don't really matter as you are forced to conform to a new set of expectations. But I was also amazed by how my body and mind just dealt with the changes. It wasn't fun or easy, but transformations can be points that stretch you far beyond what you would have previously thought possible. Number two, transformations produce anxiety. As a new parent, I am often caught in these loops of trying to figure out when Hans will learn a new skill. When will he start gaining weight? When will his eczema go away? When will he figure out how to use a sippy cup? Or most recently, when will he stop scream crying when I drop him off at daycare? Each time I go through this, I have this cycle of worry and anxiety. Will he figure it out? What am I doing wrong? Will this last forever? And over again, I learn that Hans will figure it out when he wants to, that there is no way to be a perfect parent, and that every phase of babyhood is stunningly short. Third, transformations require help. Previous to becoming a parent, I had the usual hang-ups about asking for help. Independence is important. Work harder. Figure it out, etc. But I have found that parenthood thrives best in community. We are incredibly lucky to have parents who live about a mile away and a number of close friends who have helped us out, helped us get through this first year. During the worst of the newborn days, my dad would come over to our house at 6 a.m. each morning to hold the baby while Alex and I went back to sleep. My friends Becca and Steph did numerous late-night shifts holding the baby, and my mom frequently stopped by to give us breaks. Other people made us meals, gave us baby supplies, offered encouragement and a listening ear. Our small group has been a strong source of comfort and support to us, and we are so glad to be a part of this church community. So to end my sharing, let me say thank you to all of you here today. Thank you for all of you who helped raise me as a child of Assembly. Thank you to those who welcomed me back as an adult. And thank you to all of you who love Hans and who have helped Alex and I become good parents.